Liebe Kolleginnen und Kollegen.
Colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call of the BMW Group for second quarter 2017. We have here Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicola Peter, Member of the Board of BMW AG in charge of finance. The gentleman will first give you an overview of business development, and after that you'll be given the opportunity to ask your question. I pass the floor to Mr. Krüger. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to begin by saying a few words about yesterday's diesel forum in Berlin between federal state government officials and the automobile industry. The meeting was an important step. We support the initiative and we're investing in a sustainable urban mobility fund. State-of-the-art diesels will definitely play an important role in future mobility as well. Yesterday, this was clearly acknowledged. Modern, efficient diesel engines ensure lower CO2 emissions than comparable petrol cars. On average, BMW Group diesel vehicles emit 40% less NOx than the German average, as reported by the German Federal Environment Agency in April 2017. This is also true for both our Euro 5 and Euro 6 vehicles. We are driving the transition to sustainable mobility as hard and fast as possible. That's why we will grant vehicle owners across the EU and in Germany an environmental bonus of up to 2,000 euros, depending on the model. This applies to owners of diesel vehicles that meet Euro 4 standards or less when they trade in their vehicle and purchase a new BMW or Mini that is electrified or meets the Euro 6 standard with CO2 emissions of up to 130 grams per kilometer maximum. In addition to that, we are offering an optimization of the exhaust treatment system of the Euro 5 models currently on the road in Germany at no extra cost to the customer, of course. As I emphasized again yesterday, BMW Group vehicles are not rigged for testing purposes. This has been confirmed by the results of relevant official investigations at the national and international level, and our customers can continue to rely on this. The BMW Group initiated the change to sustainable mobility at an early stage. Currently, we have more than 150,000 electrified vehicles of the BMW Group on the road. But it is also clear that sustainable mobility requires cooperation within our industry and with partners from other areas. I believe that the automotive industry will continue to play a cool role. I believe in the strength of the BMW Group. We're part of the solution. And now I'd like to move on to our daily business and the strategic challenges and opportunities that remain the focus of our efforts and innovations, regardless of current developments. There are two topics I would like to address in more detail. What did we achieve in the first half of 2017? Which specific steps have we already undertaken under strategy number one next? In the first 6 months, we continued the successful business development of recent years. Our sales figures and group earnings once again reached new all-time highs. We delivered more vehicles than ever before in a six-month period. Total deliveries of BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles exceeded 1.2 million. This underlines the strong appeal of our brands and models. The BMW brand alone delivered more than 1 million vehicles. The main growth drivers were the BMW 7 Series and mainly the BMW X models. We expect the new BMW 5 Series, including the touring and plug-in hybrid variants, as well as the long wheelbase version in China, to provide further momentum. In autumn, these will be followed by the third generation of the very popular BMW X3, which will also be available for the first time as an M-Performance model. Mini sales also reached a new half-year high. The new Countryman has been well-received by the markets. Rolls-Royce sales were lower than last year. In the ultra-luxury segment, political and economic uncertainties in a number of regions have dampened consumer spending. We presented the new Phantom, the pinnacle of luxury, to the world just a few days ago in London. Reactions have been very positive. BMW Motorrad remains on track for growth, with record deliveries. As previously announced, BMW Motorrad aims to deliver more than 200,000 BMW motorcycles and scooters by 2020. This year alone, BMW Motorrad fans will be able to choose between 14 new and revised models, including the new R90 Pure and Racer models. Group pre-tax earnings climbed to a new all-time high of more than 6 billion euros due to positive business development as well as valuation effects from the first quarter. Our EBIT margin in the automotive segment has remained within our target range of 8 to 10% for the 29th consecutive quarter. The global automotive market reported only slight growth in the first half of the year. Moreover, individual markets are developing unevenly. In this case, we benefit from our balanced distribution of sales across Europe, Asia, and the Americas. We have established a strong sales network and production base in all these regions. We are a reliable local partner and we understand our customers' needs. Our sales figures for the first half year produced the following picture. In Europe, sales were slightly higher. China posted double-digit growth. And in the US, our sales decreased slightly in an overall declining market. As a global company, the BMW Group is confronted with many risks on the international auto markets. Examples include the impact of Brexit and the political situation in the Middle East. Nevertheless, we have set ourselves ambitious goals for the financial year 2017. We are targeting a slight increase in deliveries and group earnings before tax, both of which should reach new all-time highs. At the end of the first 6 months, we are well on our way to achieving our goals for the year. As BMW Group, we intend to remain the leader in the premium segment and grow profitably. To us, however, it's more important to be in our target corridor than to grow strongly in volume. We are making further strategic decisions to strengthen our innovative capabilities in our core business. And this brings me to the second topic. Which steps have we taken under the strategy number one next? I keep emphasizing that electromobility is currently our clear priority, and the mood is becoming increasingly positive. In the first 6 months, we sold more than 42,500 electrified cars. That's around 80% more than in the same period last year. This includes models from our BMW i family, our BMW i performance vehicles, and the new Mini Countryman plug-in hybrid that's been available since June. We are the market leader in plug-in hybrids in the premium segment. The sales curve for the purely electric BMW i3 shows a clear upward trend. Sales increased by more than 50% year on year. There are plenty of announcements being made in our industry at the moment, and we're creating facts. We have more electrified vehicles on the roads than any of our established competitors. Our customers can currently choose from 9 electrified models. Thanks to the growing desirability in our broad range of electrified drivetrains, I'm quite confident that we will deliver 100,000 electrified vehicles this year. To do this, we're expanding our offering to all brands and segments. In this way, we are already embarking on the second wave of electrification. Many customers have already reserved the BMW i8 Roadster, which launches next year, and I'm sure the all-electric BMW X3 will also be a hit with many customers from 2020 on. Production of the first fully electric Mini will get underway in 2019 at our British plant in Oxford, where most of our Mini three-door cars are built. Mini customers will then be able to choose between 3 drivetrain variants: combustion engine, plug-in hybrid in the Countryman, and e-drivetrain in the Mini Hatch. In Germany, Lower Bavaria is home to our Dingolfing and Landshut plants, and this is our center of competence for electromobility. Dingolfing will also build our new technology flagship, the BMW iNEXT. At the Frankfurt Motor Show, we will present a very exciting surprise. We're strengthening Germany's status as a manufacturing location for e-mobility. We aim to provide our customers worldwide with emotional and comprehensive sustainable mobility solutions, and we're enabling our locations to achieve this. We currently produce electrified models at 10 international locations. Going forward, nearly all of our plants will be able to build vehicles with combustion engines, plug-in hybrids, and all-electric models on a single production line. This makes us extremely flexible in how we respond to demand. Autonomous driving is our second major area of activity, and we are making rapid progress in this area as well. We have been working with Intel and Mobileye for the past year. We've also been able to recruit new and renowned partners for our platforms, such as Delphi and Continental. This year, the first engineers from the BMW Group, Intel and Mobileye will move into our development campus outside of Munich. We want to offer all our customers the right options for their own individual mobility needs. This year and next, we will launch around 40 new and revised models. This will be the biggest model initiative in our history. The BMW 8 Series concept vehicle provides a glimpse of the near future. This highly emotional vehicle underlines our claim to leadership in the luxury segment. Ladies and gentlemen, modern societies need mobility. The car is, for many people, an essential element of their everyday lives. It makes our lives easier and more flexible. Digitization opens up new possibilities to take individual mobility to a new level: electric, connected, and autonomous. We are pushing ahead with all of these topics as part of our strategy number one next. We're combining operational excellence in our core business with profitability and fresh thinking. This is our roadmap for our success. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Dr. Peter, please. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The long-term viability of the BMW Group is our top priority. We are now entering the next phase in the implementation of our strategy number one next. 2017 marks the launch of the largest product initiative of our company's history, with many new electrified models. The BMW Group is thus clearly focusing on the future. But first, let's take a look at the latest financial figures. After a good start to the year, the BMW Group demonstrated its financial strength once again in the second quarter of 2017. The operative margin of 9.7% for our automotive business was higher than the same quarter last year. Based on the strong performance in the first half of the year, we're able to confirm our guidance for 2017. We will continue to systematically strengthen our performance side and to leverage efficiencies across all areas of the company. This enables us to finance from our operating business the substantial investments needed for electrification and autonomous driving. This remains our goal, even in the face of increasing global economic volatility. In the second quarter, group revenues rose by 3.1% to 25.8 billion euros. Revenues for the first 6 months climbed to 49.25 billion euros. Group earnings before tax for the second quarter totaled 3.06 billion euros and were therefore 9.2% higher than the previous year. Pre-tax earnings for the first 6 months reached 6.06 billion euros, partly due to one-time effects in the financial result. This tailwind mainly resulted from new investors acquiring a stake in the mapping service here in the first quarter, valuation effects in the other financial results, and a healthy earnings contribution from our Chinese joint venture BBA. The EBT margin for the second quarter was 11.8%. In the first 6 months of 2017, we continued to invest in expanding our production network. Our focus is currently on the expansion of our Spartanburg plant and construction of the new plant in San Luis Potosí. Investment in equipment and products totaled 1.46 billion euros in the first half of the year. Following the launch of the new 5 Series sedan, the popular long-wheelbase version for China was released in June. The new 5 Series Touring is now also available. The CAPEX ratio remains relatively low at 3%. This is typical for the first half year, but in line with seasonal factors. However, it's distinctly higher than last year, as announced. For the full year, we expect the ratio to be above last year's figure, but still below our target of 5%. Research and development expenditure for the first half year rose to 2.65 billion euros. This already reflects spending for the model initiative over the next 2 years. We're also continuing to work on electrification of vehicle architectures and investing in technologies for autonomous driving. The R&D ratio for the first 6 months therefore increased to 5.4%. As previously announced, we expect the R&D ratio for 2017 and the next 2 years to be slightly above our target range of 5 to 5.5%. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to take a look at performance in the individual segments. Deliveries in the automotive segment climbed by 4.6% to around 634,000 vehicles in the second quarter. In the first 6 months, a total of 1.22 million BMW Group vehicles were delivered to customers, which marks an increase of 5% over the previous year. Segment revenues for the first 6 months rose by 4.8% to 43.67 billion euros. Revenues for the quarter totaled 22.98 billion euros. The segment EBIT for the second quarter was 2.8% higher at 2.24 billion euros. The EBIT margin for the same period was 9.7%. Pricing remains challenging. In highly competitive markets, profitable growth is our clear priority. Efficiency improvements were largely able to offset high R&D costs and the corresponding rising upfront investments for personnel development. The financial result for the second quarter climbed to 147 million and the BBA joint venture contributed 154 million euros to the at equity result, which is an increase of 10% over the previous year's value. Now a few words about the segment's financial position. In terms of free cash flow, we're on track to achieve our target of 3 billion euros for the full year. free cash flow for the first half of the year totaled 2.04 billion euros, which is partly due to the impact of the major investments I just referred to. Let's continue with the financial services segment. In the second quarter 2017, we concluded nearly 469,000 new financing and leasing contracts with retail customers. This represents a slight increase of 1.7% over the same period of last year. We saw a moderate decrease in the number of new leasing contracts, while the number of new financing contracts increased. At the end of June 2017, the financial services segment managed a total of 4.88 million contracts with retail customers. That's 3.8% more than at the start of the year. 47.6% of the new BMW Group vehicles were leased or financed by the financial services segment in the first half year. In the first 6 months of 2017, pre-tax earnings for the segment climbed by 10.3% to 1.18 billion euros. The risk situation remains stable overall in this segment. The net credit loss ratio of 0.31% also remains very low. On the whole, used car prices worldwide stabilized in the second quarter of 2017. We are continuing to monitor trends very closely, also for vehicles with diesel engines. From today's perspective, we have made adequate provisions for business risks from loans and residual values. Let's now move on to the motorcycle segment. In the first 6 months, we delivered almost 88,400 motorcycles to customers, 9% or 9.5% more than the previous year. This was BMW Motorrad's best ever first half year, with double-digit growth in Europe, South America and China. The segment's second quarter revenues rose by 12.8% to 696 million euros, mainly due to higher volumes. Revenues for the first 6 months reached 1.32 billion euros. The segment EBIT for the first 6 months increased to 229 million euros. EBIT for the second quarter totaled 104 million euros. The EBIT margin for the same period was 14.9%. The figure for the year to the end of June stood at 17.4%. So those were the figures for the motorcycle segment. I'd now like to talk about the outlook for the group for the second half of the year. The first half of 2017 was positive for the BMW Group. However, with the uncertainty surrounding political and economic developments worldwide, the rest of the year will remain challenging. As usual, we also expect to face higher expenses in the second half of the year than at the beginning. Nevertheless, on the basis of these strong figures, the BMW Group remains confident about the second half of 2017, and we are able to confirm our guidance for the full year. Provided conditions do not deteriorate significantly, we expect to achieve a slight increase in group earnings before tax. We also forecast a slight increase in automobile deliveries, assuming conditions remain stable. Due to positive translation effects, we expect the increase in automotive segment revenues for this year to be solid. Although high upfront investments in future projects will dampen earnings, we're still targeting an EBIT margin of between 8 and 10% in the automotive segment for the full year. Deliveries in the motorcycle segment are expected to increase significantly this year. As in the automotive segment, we will be targeting an EBIT margin within the 8 to 10% range for the motorcycle segment. The positive business development in the financial services segment should continue in 2017. Faced with growing capital adequacy requirements and normalization in the risk situation, return on equity is expected to decrease slightly. However, it is expected to remain above our minimum level of 18%. Ladies and gentlemen, global economic and political conditions remain highly volatile and therefore difficult to predict. As previously announced, we also anticipate higher costs for new model launches and upfront investments for strategic projects in the second half of the year. We are countering this with ongoing measures on both the cost and the income side and systematically tailoring our product and service structure to our customers' wishes. At the same time, we are setting priorities and reducing complexity, both in our vehicle lineup and our internal structures and processes. Our strategic focus is firmly on the long term. There is no doubt in my mind that we have the right strategy and the financial strength we need to shape our future. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Peter. We will now take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues to explain how you can participate in the conference. Thank you. We'll start the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please push the telephone buttons 01. You will then be given the opportunity to ask your questions one by one. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to ask your questions using the telephone receiver. Thank you, and just a minute for the first question. The first question is by Stefan Kronek, Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, everyone. As BMW Group, how do you want to meet the CO2 requirements if diesel sales are decreasing or dropping sharply? And then I have another question about the announcement made yesterday with the diesel software updates. How much does that cost BMW, and how much are you paying into that fund? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kornick. I'll pass the floor to Mr. Krüger. Your first question, CO2 requirements 2020. In 2020, the CO2 requirements will certainly be met with an increasing number of electrified cars. That's our goal. 100,000 electrified cars is our goal for this year, and we're right on track with 245,000 in the first 6 months. 150,000 in total are already on the road. Yesterday, it has become clear that the diesel Euro 6 will play an important role for the future, and I fully acknowledge that, and it will surely also have a share in achieving the CO2 targets for 2020. Diesel technology is definitely necessary for this, in addition to electrification. Now, on the fund, well, the colleague will speak about a software update, but about the fund, I can say 500 million is the total amount, 250 coming from the government, and the other sum is to be divided depending on market share in the German market. And corresponding to that, BMW will participate with its market share in the European market. Thank you, Mr. Peter. On the software update, well, Herr Kronig, it's a little early to exactly quantify that. Concerning the software update, we're expecting a low to mid-range two-digit million amount. All right, next question, please. Next question by Edward Taylor, Reuters. Your line's open. Well, good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to understand, why is it that you have fewer leasing contracts? Is that because you increased the leasing rates, because the residual values had to be recalculated? And why is it that in June you had such a slump in sales in Germany at BMW? Thank you. Well, I'll let Mr. Krüger answer that and then Mr. Peter. Well, sales in Germany in June, the decline is also due to a model change in the 5 Series Touring. In June, it only just came on the market, and the 5 Touring is very important in Germany, not just the sedan, but also the Touring. And that only arrived at the dealerships middle of June, so that's one of the driving factors why the market had a slight decline in Germany in June. Then, second part of the question, Mr. Peter, Dr. Peter. Well, for the leasing business, something very general. The three major leasing markets are the United States, Great Britain, and Germany. And especially in the difficult market environment in the United States, we had clearly placed the focus on enforcing our prices. That means we had to adjust the make an upward adjustment of leasing rates. That's got nothing to do with the risk situation, but it's with a focus on enforcing prices and earnings quality in the United States. Thank you. The next question, please. Next question by Christian Hetzner, Automotive News Europe. Your line is open. Well, good morning. There are many people who felt that diesel forum yesterday was a farce. What is it that BMW will derive from this forum? We already knew beforehand that you had agreed on a software update. As far as that software update is concerned, does the industry really think you might be, are you really sure there won't be any driving bans? And perhaps you can also explain if that magical software does not deteriorate consumption and performance and all that, why didn't you install that right from the beginning, considering that apparently the technical capabilities have already been available for months or years? And then in the end, where will that software come from? Will that be developed by a supplier and then sold to all vehicle manufacturers, or will every diesel manufacturer optimize his own software? And then in the end, everybody can claim at the same time there'll be no negative effects. Well, thank you, Mr. Hetzner. I guess the entire question is all about the software update, so I'll pass that to Mr. Krüger. Well, I'd like to start by confirming what I already said yesterday. At BMW, engines are not manipulated or rigged. If you look at the diesel models of the BMW Group, Euro 5, Euro 6, they are 40% below the German average, which was published by the Environmental Agency in April 2017. So BMW Euro 5, Euro 6 diesels, I mean for Euro 6 we have a very specific technology. They are sustainable and they're well above average. Now, about the software update, you asked why that's only ready to be implemented now. The background is that now we have the experience from 2011 to 2015 and we can make use of it. And in many areas of the engine characteristics, that is now possible to have a higher degree of exhaust gas recirculation at those temperatures. We're improving that and we're making that available to our customers free of charge. You said that everything that was said at the event, at the forum yesterday, was already to be expected. I don't share that view. There's up to 2,000 euros as an environment bonus that we are now offering, not only in Germany. We're the only manufacturers offering that EU-wide in order to improve the entire fleet within Europe, and that's not something we had before. In addition to that, we're participating in the fund. In addition to that, now already, together with other automobile manufacturers, we are starting an initiative to establish an infrastructure for fast charging networks in Europe. So the BMW Group is really working as fast as it can to support the cities, to support the charging infrastructure, and to do everything it can on the product offering side. One last point on this. The mayor of Hamburg was also present at the forum yesterday. So we started an initiative with Hamburg. From today on, we're going from 70 to about 550 electrified vehicles for drive now. Some of them PHEV, some of them purely electric. So wherever the city develops the infrastructure, we can make further offers to bring more electrified vehicles into our fleets. So bottom line is, there are a number of initiatives. Not all of them had already been agreed previously. Thank you. The next question, please. Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News. Good morning. I have a couple of questions on the diesel as well, touching on what Mr. Hetzer said about impending diesel bans. Do you think that with that package, with that bundle of measures, Mrs. Behrmann, you're still there? Well, Behrmann, we cannot hear you anymore at the moment. Well, maybe we'll turn to the next question in that case. Mirko Reibka, Plato Brief. Mr. Reibka, can you hear us? We're ready to take your question. Mr. Reibka, your line is open. We can't hear anything from you at the moment. Do we perhaps have a technical problem? Does anybody hear us? I'd like to try with the next, Philipp Hepper, Die Welt. Yes, good morning. I didn't hear anything either, but you can hear me now. Yes, Mr. Fedder, we're glad to hear you because we can hear you. We're very happy. Good morning. I have a couple of questions, mainly relating to the diesel topic. Perhaps you can explain to me, what will be the cost of this environmental bonus? What's the amount you're expecting to pay? And what type of CO2 improvement are you expecting? Because that's a bonus specifically for models with which you're likely to improve your fleet consumption. Second question about possible cartel collusions. The press said that cooperation with your competitors will now look at into greater detail. Now, you were able to talk to your competitors at that forum. So what's the cooperation look like? Is your cooperation burdened by this issue? And now that you've had a few times to look up what happened over the past few decades, is that possibly something that went from grey to illegal? What is your estimate here? Was there a car cartel or not from the point of view of BMW? Well, Mr. Fedder, we're glad that you asked a question. We're glad to have you. But about these cartel issues, please understand that we cannot comment on that at all. I can repeat that up to today, there is no investigations against BMW. We've only heard about this from the newspapers, so forecasts or speculations. That's something you won't get from us. So I hope that you'll understand. No, we will not comment on it at all. I'm sorry. There are no investigations pending, and we're not participating in any form of speculation. Okay, there are still two open questions. Costs of the environmental bonus, well, that's actually the only one, and the expected CO2 improvements. Dr. Peter, please. Well, Mr. Vetter, the clear goal of the environmental bonus is to make a positive contribution to achieving the CO2 targets in Europe, and this is why we extended it to all EU markets, and it concerns all vehicles that are EU3 or 4 or older. Now, at the current point in time, it's up to 2,000 euros. And depending on the model or class of vehicle, that's what we make available to the customers. This applies to all new purchases of BMWs and Minis with maximum 130 grams of CO2. Now, how many will actually claim that bonus? In fact, we hope that there'll be as many as possible just in order to make a positive contribution to achieving our CO2 target. But at the current point in time, it's too early to give a forecast, so we cannot really quantify that. Mr. Vetter, one other thing. I mean, for Germany, this is on top. There's also a purchase bonus for electrified vehicles, for the PHEV and the BEV. It comes on top of that, and that's already a significant number of people or an amount of money that'll be made available to customers. Thank you. The next question, please. Again, Elisabeth Beermann, Bloomberg News. Your line is open, Mrs. Beermann. We currently don't have any sound. Well, then Martin Brehm from Münchner Merkur next. Well, good morning, gentlemen. I have another question about the residual value risk. Herr Peter, you said one thing about this. Could you be a little more specific or expand on that a little more? What are you expecting? Because there's developments on the used car markets. Okay, thank you, Mr. Brehm. Well, again, the residual value situation, Mr. Brehm, in total is stable. This applies both to the major leasing market of North America as well as to the situation, and I guess this is what you're referring to, the situation in Europe. It also applies to diesel vehicles. We are observing this very closely, especially also how residual values of diesel vehicles can or could develop. But at the current point in time, there is no negative trend that we can observe. Thank you, Mr. Prim. Next question, please. Elisabeth Beermann, Bloomberg News. Good morning. Thank you. I apologize that we had a bit of difficulties. Very short question. You emphasized several times that the NOx values, that your NOx values are 40% below the German average. So my question, would you actually favor manufacturer-specific driving bans, Mr. Krüger? Well, Mrs. Beermann, I don't think that is something that's under discussion. I don't believe in driving bans. There's more intelligent solutions for mobility of the future. That would be my answer. Thank you. Next question, please. That's Irene Preisinger, Reuters. Your line is open. Frau Preisinger, perhaps you've muted your phone accidentally. Currently, we don't hear anything. No sound coming from your line. Okay, the next one is Sabine Guspert, Euro Magazine. Good morning. Herr Krüger, in your speech, you said that the sustainable mobility of the future means that more cooperation is required. Are there specific plans in this respect, and how could that cooperation look like in view of the current allegations or accusations? Does that mean that there'll be fewer talks about cooperation? Well, we're quite convinced that the strategic requirements of mobility of the future can only be mastered with the right partners inside and outside the automobile industry. I gave an example earlier on, that's the charging infrastructure for e-mobility in Europe. BMW Group as a company on its own is too small to do this. This is why we have an initiative together with other manufacturers. The other topic is autonomous driving, for example. Here we're cooperating with Intel and Mobileye or the digital map. But with all of these, of course, applicable laws and regulations will be observed. Thank you. Next question, please. Marco Engmann, DPA AFX. Good morning. Referring to the question the colleague from Börsen-Zeitung asked, just to get that straight, up to 2020, Mr. Krüger, you're planning to meet the CO2 requirements just with e-vehicles, or what's the scenario for the share of diesels in your portfolio do you have, especially as far as Euro 6 is concerned? Okay, thank you. Well, Mr. Engemann, my answer before was I said it'll be a mix of everything, diesel and electrified vehicles. Now, the precise mix we'll have in 2020, that's difficult to forecast, but it'll either be done with diesel alone nor with e-vehicles alone. We need an accelerated built-up of electromobility, and this is why that's our first priority. But of course, there'll be a significant share of diesel vehicles on the road, and they will play a role in a COT balance. The Euro 6 diesels and the upgraded Euro 5 diesels, they'll also make a contribution. Thank you. Next question, Mrs. Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you can hear me now. I have a question about the diesel and a couple of other questions on your other business. Can you tell us what's the budget for that purchase bonus and what will yesterday's decisions by BMW cost in total, or what will they cost for the industry? Then Oxford, I'd like to know, is there anything you've achieved with the British authorities? Is there a compromise or anything that made you build the e-mini there? Electrification. The 3 Series will, I guess, be the next model that will be electrified. Can we be assumed that the strong-selling models will follow, or can you make a forecast on this? And then, most recently, we had a report, or there were hopes coming from Czech politics, that you'll get a BMW test facilities there. I've understood you very well now, Mrs. Preisinger. Thank you. And you had a lot of questions, so it seems. I'll go through them one by one. Diesel, how much money is there? What's the budget? Mr. Wissmann gave a number for the automobile industry, 500 million euros in total. That were the estimated expenses for the software update. Now, for the purchase bonus, we cannot comment on that at all yet. For BMW Group, we hope we'll have a lot of customers in Europe, but that's entirely open at this point. Then you asked about the Mini BEV in Oxford. Were there any concessions by the UK government? No, there were not. We made our decisions independent of any concessions. And electrification, 3 Series, as a group, BMW has the strategy that all brands will be electrified. We've also got an electrified motorbike, for example. So we do that in all of the segments. And I guess there might be some surprises in store for you at the Frankfurt Motor Show. Another thing, will there be test facilities in the Czech Republic? We will not comment on that. It's much too early to talk about any plans anywhere yet. Thank you. Next question, please. Alina Reimann, Wirtschaftswoche. Good morning. I hope you can hear me. Yes, we can hear you very well. I don't know about the technology so much, but allow me to ask a question. Manufacturers, not only BMW, they keep saying there is that the engine needs to be protected because, you know, with exhaust gas cleaning and all that. Now, how is it possible all of a sudden with your updates to clean exhaust gas at lower temperatures without destroying the engine? I mean, you're not doing anything to the engines. It's just a software update, not a hardware update. So the engines remain the same. So why is that possible all of a sudden? Why is the engine not destroyed? Now, how many degrees do you have for your exhaust gas cleaning? I remember something about 10 degrees, but if it's really 10 degrees, then I wonder, why is it, if you've got such great exhaust gas cleaning technology, why aren't you able to also clean exhaust gases below 10 degrees? Because that would mean in the winter, or more than half the year round, we have less than 10 degrees in Germany. So does that mean we're breathing in dirty air half a year every year? Well, now we need to dive right into the technology. I guess Mr. Krüger will start. Okay, what about the updates? What can they achieve? These updates are based on experience from 2011 to 2015 in real operations, where we were able to allow a higher rate of exhaust gas recirculation. This is experience we had to gain, and now we're implementing that in our software update. Okay, next question, please. Hang on, please. You didn't answer all my questions yet. Well, we're not giving an answer to everything. Please understand. I mean, we can do that on a bilateral level as far as that switching off is concerned, but we can do this up to minus degrees. I didn't quite understand your question. Did you say minus 10 degrees? Or my question was, as of how many degrees are exhaust gases cleaned at BMW? Well, the Euro 5 software update uses the field experience from 2010 to 2015. And especially in a temperature range below 15 degrees, it is now possible to have a higher degree of exhaust gas recirculation. This essentially concerns diesel engines up to 2011. Well, thank you. Next question, Mirko Reibka, Platobrief. Good morning. I have several questions. First, I'd like to get back to the 8 to 10% target range in the automobile business. Mr. Krüger, the electrified vehicles at the moment are well below that. At the same time, you want to sell a total of 2.5 million vehicles. You yourself said earlier that you have to make sure that you grow profitably. Now, the target range, is that something you can maintain in the long run? Second question, would you say that after the elections, we have to expect driving bans in Germany, despite the diesel form and the measures now announced? Then I'd like to know, you briefly mentioned corporations within the industry. After all of the issues, cartel, exhaust gas rigging, now, isn't the trust among manufacturers somewhat damaged? And then my last question, assuming that diesel sales will now decrease, and I wanted to ask, what are the sales at the moment? Now, what importance do decreasing diesel sales have for the engine plant in Steyr? Okay, these are several questions. Let me begin. Corporations, of course, the trust, you wondered whether trust within the industry has been damaged. Well, I can only speak for myself. We had, we will continue our corporations also in the future. And we all met at the diesel forum invited by the government. And we all dealt with everything in a fairly unemotional, objective manner. Now, next question. Can driving bans be expected? I said already, I don't believe in driving bans. And we made great progress yesterday, but that's also a matter for the courts and not just for politics alone. Then diesel sales, current values worldwide, we only have a slight decrease of sales of cars with diesel engines in the first 6 months of the year. Europe and Germany, the decrease was slightly greater, but in total, the sales situation for diesel cars is still on a pretty high level. So I don't think that has any relevance to our Steyr plant, apart from the fact that at Steyr we produce diesel and petrol engines, and we're quite flexible there. It's a plant that can do both. So Steyr is really working at fairly high capacities. Then there was one question left about the EBIT margins, e-cars. Mr. Peter, please. Well, I can give a clear answer here, Mr. Reibke. Our claim is also in the transition to e-mobility, we want to remain within the 8 to 10% target range. How do we want to achieve that? Firstly, we're at the beginning of the greatest major product initiative with 40 new models, and they deliver a strong contribution margin. Think of the 5 Series, for example, or the X3 coming in a few months, or the 8 Series. All of this will provide positive momentum. In addition to that, we're continuously working on increasing efficiency within the company. As I said before, we define priorities quite consistently, and within the company, as well as in our product offer, we reduce complexity. And that's why I'm very optimistic that based on this consistent management, we will be able to stay within the 8 to 10% target range. Can I ask another question about this? Could you give us the number, the sales figures of the diesel cars, the share? Could you repeat, Mr. Reibke? We cannot understand you very well. Would you again give us the number? What's the share of the diesel cars in your sales figures in Germany? Is that worldwide Germany, or could you do both? Okay. First half 2017, 35.4%, and Germany 61%. Thank you. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question, Edward Taylor, Reuters. Your line is now open. Thank you for allowing me to ask another question. Can you hear me? I wanted to ask, what do you think of how high are the chances that you'll also have to change the hardware? Because Volkswagen, you know, they were contemplating stricter measures, and some people were still demanding it. So what would a hardware update cost? And can you tell us, Mr. Taylor? Oops. Well, 3 points. As I said in my speech, the BMW Euro 5, Euro 6 diesels are a lot better than the average by 40%, according to the numbers published by the Environmental Agency. Retrofitting at this point is not possible with many cars based on three reasons. There's building space. These are cars coming from a different architecture where there isn't even space for fitting more hardware. We're talking about older cars and engines where those technologies had not been provided for. And this is why it can't increase the cost there. And I presume, and I said that yesterday at the forum in Berlin, with many vehicles, that would in fact increase fuel consumption. I apologize. I didn't hear the question. because some of it was muted, apparently. You can hear me now? I hope you can hear me. Okay, I'll repeat. The likelihood of a hardware upgrade from our point of view is very low. I don't even think it's possible because with many vehicles, it's technically not possible in view of the fact that we don't have enough space inside the car. And my second answer was that BMW diesel vehicles are 40% better than the fleet on average as published by the Federal Environmental Agency. Okay, let's take a last question. Markus Persson, Dow Jones. Good morning. I have three brief questions. You mentioned the share of diesel cars in the first 6 months. Could you give reference values last year, Germany and worldwide? Then the surprise you announced for the Frankfurt Motor Show, the electrified 3 Series. What will be its reach, more or less? Perhaps you can tell us. Last question, the premium vehicles. I guess in the core brand, there won't be anything coming, but will you be number one again next year? Okay, first Nicola, Peter, let's start with your last question, perhaps, Mr. Clausen, about the crown. Our strategy is number one next, and we define number one, especially against three sets of topics. That's profitability, innovative strength, and then the third one, segment share. Segment share alone is not our goal. We want to be profitable, develop profitably, and here we're on the right track, and we want to be the most innovative manufacturer with a clear focus on electrification and autonomous driving. And especially in terms of electrification, today I think we're in a very strong position. Thank you. Now, Mr. Krüger. Mr. Clausen, to get back to the diesel shares, worldwide in 2016 it was 37%, and the first 6 months, it was 35.6. In Germany, diesel share 2016 was 65%, and now it's at 61. Thank you. And then you asked about the electrified 3 Series. I won't comment on that. All I'll say is just wait for the surprise we'll have to offer at the Frankfurt Motor Show. Well, colleagues, I apologize for the technical difficulties we had today. I'd like to say thank you for your question, and we now wish you a nice summer. Goodbye and see you soon.